Let's hear a critique of the latest effort to address the war in Syria. The United States is trying to do something about that disastrous war. It wants to unite world powers to remove Syria's leader. Bashar al-Assad's allies, Russia and Iran, have yet to sign on. And that is sure to be one subject when President Obama meets Russian President Vladimir Putin today. Iran's leader Hassan Rouhani told us over the weekend that he would rather keep Assad and focus on that other threat, ISIS.
So what is the priority today in Syria? Is it to fight against terrorism or is it political reforms in Syria? Perhaps political reform is needed. However, is that today's priority? We believe that it's driving out the terrorists.
Syria's tangled mess was one subject we raised with Florida Senator and Republican presidential hopeful Marco Rubio. The United States wants Assad to go. Iran and Russia want him to stay, which leads to a question for you. Which side makes sense to you?
Well, first of all, it's important to understand the instability in Syria began with a uprising against Assad. It wasn't terrorists. It was Syrians who rebelled against him. And the result we see is ISIS and other radical groups on the ground. Obviously, the Russians and the Iranians view Assad as a client state, and they want either him to remain in power or someone like him. And so their number one objective in the region is to defeat ISIS first, while at the same time maintaining Assad in power. And that's quite different from our view, because as long as Assad is in power, you will have an ISIS or an ISIS-like movement. So they're interrelated.
If you were president this week, meeting at the United Nations with Russia's Vladimir Putin, sending your Secretary of State to meet with Iran's foreign minister, how, if at all, would you be able to persuade Russia and Iran to get on the same page as you?
Well, I'm not sure we would, and that's why it's important that American leadership be present. Here's the argument the Russians are making. The United States broke the Middle East. They got rid of Saddam Hussein. They invaded Iraq. Then they left too early, and the place collapsed into chaos. And now that they broke it, they're leaving, and they're leaving us with this mess. So we, meaning the Russians, are going to step in, and we're going to provide the leadership this region needs. And we're a much more reliable ally than the United States is. And this is the argument they're making to multiple countries in the region. And so this president has fallen into that. He's, in fact, strengthened Putin's hands. If I were president, the argument would be the reverse. We would provide a clear strategy to deal with ISIS. We would have done so already. And those nations would prefer to work with us. But if left with a choice between Russia and nothing, they're going to choose Russia.
Senator Rubio, let me ask you about something else that we heard from Iran's President Hassan Rouhani. We, of course, talked about the nuclear deal with the United States. We asked if Iran really was going to comply when the nuclear inspections got tough. And he indicated that he wanted to do that and that Iran would. He, in fact, said Iran has a, quote, religious duty to keep the agreements it's made. And he said that his administration wants to focus on improving Iran's economy and really not very much else. Do you believe him?
I do not, and their history proves that not to be true. In fact, he has openly bragged in the past about misleading the West to reach their objectives. I think the likelier scenario is a combination of what Saddam Hussein did after the first Gulf War and what North Korea did, and that is a series of what they will argue are technical issues with the deal, and over time just erode the deal's restrictions on them. They'll challenge them. They'll gamble that the West and the United States has so much invested in the success of this deal that we will tolerate those violations. And over time, basically, they'll change the facts on the ground. The world will have to accept it.
Senator Rubio, I can't let you go without asking about the giant developments in Congress in the last few days after House Speaker John Boehner announced that he is going to resign. Many people noticed that when you broke the news to a crowd on Friday that Boehner was resigning, it got more than half a minute of sustained applause. What did you make of that?
Well, we know. People are upset that they elected a Republican-majority Senate, have a Republican-majority House, and yet they seem incapable of getting anything done or, at a minimum, stopping the things they disagree with. So that frustration was manifested by that response, but I also think you see it manifested in some of the polling and things that are going on in this election. It's very real.
Well, let's talk about that, though. One of the reasons that Speaker Boehner was under pressure was because of a looming possibility of another government shutdown over a dispute over funding for Planned Parenthood and other issues. Boehner was seen as not being tough enough. Are you saying that you're on the other side of that debate, that you would prefer to see the government shut down if the administration doesn't give in?
No, I don't prefer to see it shut down. In fact, I think that if it does shut down, it'll be because the Democrats and the president have shut it down because they insist that one organization receive federal funding. But here's the bigger problem among the base and the conservatives and the Republican Party. It's that they never even tried. In essence, they didn't try to make the case to the American people over a sustained period of time. They didn't think they could win the public debate, and so they never even tried. And that's the frustration. If ultimately he vetoes it, if ultimately we don't have the votes, that's one thing. But to basically wave the white flag weeks in advance and say, we're not even going to try to go out there and make the argument to the American people and try to win this issue in the court of public opinion, that is inexplicable.
But it is interesting, if you go through the motions, as you just say, have a vote, see what happens, see if it passes Congress, see if the president then vetoes it, and then let the government stay open. Isn't someone still going to accuse you of not having gone far enough?
Well, potentially, but that's not my point. My argument is let's try to win the argument.
One of the things, Senator Rubio, I need to recount some of the political dialogue from the presidential campaign in recent days. Donald Trump said, among other things, quote, Rubio is like a kid who shouldn't be running. I believe he called you sweaty. You responded that Donald Trump is, quote, touchy and insecure. And so then Trump called you a clown, his word. So, Senator, it's your serve.
Well, look, I'm not interested in the back and forth to be a member or a part of his freak show. I would just say this. He is a very sensitive person. He doesn't like to be criticized. He responds to criticism very poorly. He had a speech in South Carolina to an empty crowd. He got booed on Friday at that Valley Voters Summit. His poll numbers are taking a beating, and he was embarrassed on national television at a debate by Carly Fiorina and others. But this election is not going to be about Donald Trump. He thinks it is, but it's not about him. It has to be about the issues confronting our country. And my sense of it is that every time issues become prominent, he will say something outrageous or do something outrageous so that he doesn't have to talk about the issues.
Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.